Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have different opinions. We value things differently. This is why we fight with one another. The husband thinks we need a new lawnmower. The wife thinks the old one is just fine. The child thinks cookies make an excellent breakfast. The parent does not. The daughter says, "I love this guy." The father thinks he is bad news. Disagreements separate us from one another. They push us apart. Conversely, when we are of like mind, there is unity and harmony and fellowship. I would imagine if you think of your favorite memory, it is a memory of harmony. When husband and wife exchanged vows, when mother and father met for the first time, the child which they came together to make, or simply enjoying the company of good friends. In the beginning, humanity was in harmony with God, but then we set our minds on our own desires, and the brokenness persists to this very hour. The world is in discord with its creator. Our theme for this morning is, set your mind on the things of God, and not the things of man. Because from the moment our Lord took on flesh, he set his mind on saving you. In our text today, Jesus begins to teach the disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. I cannot fully convey to you how inconceivable this must have been for Peter. The Messiah is supposed to fix everything, kick out the Romans. What good is he if everyone rejects him and he is killed? So he goes up to Jesus, brings him aside, and rebukes him. The word in Greek is a military term. So it's almost like Peter is correcting Jesus as a drill sergeant would an enlistee right off the bus for basic training. We are all disgusted when we see children who think they can tell their parents what to do. How much worse is it when creatures do it to their creator? So Jesus rebukes Peter. "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter's unbelief made him unaware of what he was actually asking Jesus to do. He was asking him to not die on the cross for our sins, the very thing Satan wanted. So he is called by that name. But Peter couldn't have understood all that, right? So is it really fair for Jesus to reprimand him? Peter didn't understand all of that. And that is the very point. In the times of our lives where nothing seems to make sense, do we hold fast to the faith which was given to us at baptism, or do we rebuke God and tell him he has made a mistake? Sarah from our Old Testament lesson was in a similar situation to Peter. God told her husband Abraham, "I will bless Sarah and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." When Sarah hears this, she laughs. She doesn't even have a single child, let alone all this talk of nations. And she is old. We all know the body of an old woman cannot bear children. Oh? Who formed that body? Sarah, who are you to say what is and is not possible? As we saw with Peter and again here with Sarah, to set your mind on the things of man is to tell God he is mistaken and you know better. Have we set our mind on the things of man? I should have that car. I should have that promotion. I should have that body. God, you made a mistake. God, you say that sex outside of marriage is evil. You're mistaken. It's fun. It's good. It's harmless. Indeed, every sin we commit is a sin of pride. God has said what is good and evil, and we say he's got it wrong. And if we set our mind on the things of man, we will continually be concerned with the opinions of men. If being a Christian will mean people won't like us, or we won't get a job, or some greater persecution, we may deny Christ. Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Setting your mind on the things of God, on the other hand, is to be concerned with his opinion of us and of the things of this world. It is to defer to God's eternal wisdom and not elevate our own. In our text today, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Mark ends the story there, but Matthew's gospel continues with Jesus' reply to this confession. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Why is Peter blessed? He's blessed because his Father revealed to him who Jesus was, and he didn't care about anyone else's opinion. And there were many to choose from. He's blessed because he and God are of like mind on who Jesus is. Peter's making the same confession which God the Father made at Jesus' baptism. "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." When we, by the work of the Holy Spirit, come to faith in Christ, Eden begins to be restored. God and man confess the same thing. They walk in harmony as they did before the fall. This is why doctrine is important. People today have a negative reaction to that word doctrine, but it's just the Latin word for teaching. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." But what did he teach? Our gospel lesson tells us. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Sounds an awful lot like who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He was suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again. When we read the creeds each Sunday, it's not because it sounds nice or something. It's because we are confessing the sound teaching which Jesus brought us. We are confessing that we share a common belief with the people of God in this place and with the church throughout time. But most importantly, we confess these words with and to the glory of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of this confession, we will come under persecution. It can be as simple as someone thinking you're a fool for believing in all that God nonsense, or as serious as someone threatening your mortal life. This is confusing because, according to the things of man, if you're friends with the boss, the CEO, the president, your life becomes easier. They can pull some strings for you. They can give you new opportunities. But according to the things of God, this life will not be easier, but more difficult when you are a friend of the King. People will literally hate you for confessing the things of God. But by his grace, may our Lord keep us in this true confession all our life, no matter what the forces of darkness may assail us with. As we sing in that great Martin Luther hymn, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus gives us one final example of what it means to set our minds on the things of God. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean to take up my cross tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off? Or this afternoon when brunch is over? It means not seeking my own pleasure, but looking outward to serve the people that are around me at any given moment. Especially when they don't deserve it. That is what Jesus did. Earlier we read, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see how profound that is? That's Christianity in a verse. Some would say John 3:16, but I'd be tempted to take this one. You are a lawbreaker, a convicted criminal, worthy of condemnation. You are on death row for these crimes. But Christ steps in and says, I will take your punishment. The death that you deserve, I will die. He goes off to his death. You go off free. Why would he do this? Why would an innocent man give his life for me, a criminal? Love. And what did I do to deserve this love? Nothing. Instead of bearing guilt and remorse and condemnation, we have peace. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The things of man will always focus us on our own happiness. You know, the scriptures don't talk all that much about happiness, but they talk a lot about peace. It's the number one word in the divine service. The peace of the Lord be with you always. When we leave the communion rail, pastor says, depart in peace. We sing in the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And when I end my sermon, I will reference the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. Jesus brings us peace. No longer do we stand in opposition to God on the great cosmic battlefield. No longer are we his enemy. Now we have peace. Another word Paul uses to describe this restoration of peace is reconciled. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When I think of that word reconciled, I think of two brothers coming back together, going back into one another, coming back into one another's life. I think of husbands and wives forgiving others each other's sins and coming back together as one. We have been reconciled to God. This is the gospel. Not that we have set our minds on him, but that he set his mind on us and sought to reconcile us to himself. This is the first and foremost thing of God which you are to set your mind on. When we are called by God to deny ourselves and love others, we don't focus on the command. We set our minds on Christ, who denied himself for us. And when we remember this gospel, it produces in us a desire to do likewise to our neighbor. In conclusion, during this Lenten season, may we reject the things of man. May we see the beauty and truth of the things of God. And when we do neither of these things, and know all too well that we deserve God's present and eternal punishment, may we remember these words from Romans. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.